So around this time every year, as Thanksgiving approaches, I tend to become reflective about past Thanksgivings. Growing up, I never thought that my family had enough tradition when it came to Thanksgiving. I would hear my friends talk about their Thanksgiving traditions, and they would seem legendary. One of my friends, she and her family would participate in an annual touch football game where the girls would raucously and joyfully play against the boys in a picturesque autumn setting, working up an appetite for the big meal. Another friend, his uncle, would recite a yearly Thanksgiving poem as the turkey was being carved, and the poem was always equally touching and hilarious. Still another friend, she and her family made an annual trek to their family's beach house, where they would eat the Thanksgiving meal in full costume as pilgrims and Native Americans, and then go walking in these costumes after eating along the ocean waves. So I would hear these stories and I would think, my goodness, my Thanksgiving is so boring and so uneventful. We need more tradition. So one year in my quest to introduce new and more tradition into my family's Thanksgiving, I introduced a new tradition. We would go around the table and each say one thing we were most thankful for that year. Now, I have a small family. I'm an only child. So I think there are about five of us at the table that year, myself, my parents, and my grandparents. And undoubtedly, my family was very used to entertaining and indulging their only child's whims. So everyone went around and dutifully said one thing they were thankful for. And that was that. It lasted about 4 minutes, and we never did it again. It was a tradition that never became a tradition. But looking back on it, years later, this failed attempt at tradition taught me something. I can't remember the specifics of what everyone said that they were thankful for. I honestly cringe at what I probably said. But I do know what I didn't say. I didn't say I was thankful for Jesus Christ. Now, on the cross, Jesus gave us his life so that we might have life, a life free from sin, a life abundant in him. But at that Thanksgiving table, I didn't mention the thing that I should be most grateful for. I'm not saying that somewhere in my heart I didn't have gratitude for Jesus. I surely hope I did. But I am saying that when it came to expressing my gratitude for Jesus Christ aloud, it didn't even cross my mind to speak it and express it at that Thanksgiving table. On that Thanksgiving day, the tradition that never became a tradition put a spotlight on my attitude for gratitude in the face of the cross. In the face of the cross, my attitude of gratitude was an attitude of silence. So I'd like to pose the question then to all of us today. When it comes to the cross, what is our attitude of gratitude? I find it so appropriate that the gospel passage today puts us square in the face of the cross. Today we celebrate Christ the King, the feast of Christ the King. Jesus is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we also enter Thanksgiving week. And it's on the cross that Jesus, as our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, gives us the ultimate gift, the ultimate thing that we should be thankful for. And so it's in this gospel passage, then, that we can learn about gratitude. In this scripture, we see three different attitudes to Jesus on the cross. And it's these three different attitudes that give us insight as we ask ourselves the question this morning, in the face of the cross, what is our attitude of gratitude. So in the gospel this morning, Jesus is crucified. He's hanging on the cross. He's just endured being beaten and bloodied and mocked. He's stumbled and struggled through the streets of Jerusalem, carrying a heavy cross to the place of his execution. And he's hanging on the cross naked between two criminals, a criminal on his left and a criminal on his right. And around him, people are gathered. Some of these people were likely followers of Jesus. Some were Roman leaders and soldiers and guards. Others were people who were probably there just to watch the spectacle of it all. But it's in these people that surround Jesus in this passage that we see these three different attitudes to Jesus on the cross. So the first attitude we see to Jesus on the cross is the attitude of the people. Luke tells us that the people stood by near the cross watching. They're passive, they're silent. Now, undoubtedly, many of these people knew who Jesus was. Some of them had likely followed him, weeping and wailing through the streets of Jerusalem as he walked to his execution. Some of them had likely heard Jesus teach and seen him heal. Some of these people likely believed that Jesus was the Messiah. So here these people are, in the face of the cross, watching their teacher, their healer, their savior, in the final hours of his life, being executed for a bogus crime. And how do they respond? They're silent. They don't speak out or yell out to Christ and affirm their faith in him. They don't shout out that Jesus has done nothing wrong and doesn't deserve the punishment that he's getting. They don't exclaim that the Roman Empire is committing the greatest injustice in the history of the world. No. The people simply stand there watching, possibly reflecting, but definitely silent. In the face of the cross, the people have an attitude of silence. And then we immediately see the second attitude to Jesus on the cross. And we see that in the attitude of the Roman leaders and soldiers and the criminal who hangs on Jesus' left. This group mocks Jesus, telling him to save himself. Knowing that Jesus healed and performed miracles, the Roman leaders scoff and say, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." And then Roman soldiers join in, and they walk up to Christ with sour wine, and they shout at him, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." And then the criminal on Jesus' left joins in, and he yells at him, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." Three times in this passage, we hear, "Save yourself." And what these people are really saying is, "Prove it. If you're the Messiah of God, his chosen one, prove it. If you're the king of the Jews, prove it. If you are the Messiah of God, prove it." In the face of the cross, the Roman leaders and the soldiers, as well as the criminal who hangs on Jesus' left, have an attitude of prove it. And then we find our third attitude to Jesus on the cross in the attitude of the criminal who hangs on Jesus' right. In this passage, we see this criminal acknowledging the might and the greatness of God. We see him admitting the guilt and asserting the innocence of Jesus. But most importantly, for our purposes this morning, we see this criminal on Jesus' right, this man, turning to Jesus and saying to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." In his response, we see this man's total trust. He turns to Jesus, and he shows complete confidence that when he asks, it will be done. He believes that Jesus as God can and will grant his request. He shows complete humility, complete surrender, and complete trust. This criminal who hangs on the right of the cross of Christ trusts completely and fully. In the face of the cross, this man has an attitude of trust. So in this passage, then, we see three attitudes to Jesus on the cross. We see an attitude of silence, we see an attitude of prove it, and we see an attitude of trust. So the question for us then is, what do these attitudes tell us about our attitude of gratitude when it comes to the cross? In the face of what Jesus did for us on and through the cross, what is our attitude of gratitude? In the face of the cross, is our attitude of gratitude an attitude of silence, like it was for me those many Thanksgivings ago? Are we like the people in the crowd who see their teacher, their healer, their Messiah on the cross, but remain silent? If we have this attitude, we know in our minds what Jesus did for us on the cross, but our lives don't reflect it. We don't take any action. We don't express our thanks and praise to God for all that he has given us. We don't talk about Christ with others. If we have an attitude of silence, we don't speak out for the oppressed or the poor, the different, the marginalized. We don't speak out against injustice. We don't stand up for the kingdom values that Jesus so vehemently preached, values like mercy and radical hospitality and love and acceptance. If we have an attitude of silence, we stay silent in the face of things we know are wrong. We go along with the gossip, we go along with the rumors, we go along with talking about people behind their backs because we just don't want to rock the boat. We let our kids do things and go to places they shouldn't because we want them to be accepted. At work, we cut corners, we take the shortcut because everyone's doing it. If we have an attitude of silence, we don't fully live into what Jesus did for us on the cross. Our lives aren't changed and our hearts aren't transformed by Christ's saving work. So in the face of the cross, is our attitude an attitude of silence? Or in the face of the cross, is our attitude of gratitude an attitude of prove it? If we have this attitude, we question whether what Christ did on the cross is enough. We're skeptical about God's love and God's forgiveness. If we have an attitude of prove it, we demand things of God to prove himself to us. We ignore the numerous ways that God shows himself to us through his beautiful creation, through the Bible, in our hearts, through others, and instead we just demand more and more, asking for a bigger and bigger sign. God answers a prayer, and we say it's a coincidence. God saves us from tragedy, but we say we just got lucky. God heals a loved one of cancer, but we don't turn to him as the source of healing. We just look to God and say, prove it. If we have an attitude of prove it, maybe we bargain with God and say, okay, God, if you will heal my spouse, then I'll believe that you're God. Then I'll trust in you. Or if you fix this in my life, God, then I'll know that you're my Messiah. You're my Savior. In the face of the cross, is our attitude of gratitude an attitude of prove it? Or in the face of the cross, is our attitude of gratitude an attitude of trust? Are we like the criminal who hangs on Jesus' right, who trusts completely and fully. If we have an attitude of trust, our lives reflect this trust in God. We live grace-filled lives. We give grace and we receive grace in abundance. We love others, we love ourselves, we forgive others, we forgive ourselves. We make that phone call to the estranged relative we really don't want to make to apologize for the thing that really isn't our fault. We stop being so hard and so critical on our spouse and blame them for the breakdown of the marriage and instead turn inward and say, Christ, show me how to be the spouse you want me to be and expect nothing in return. If we have an attitude of trust, we stop shutting people out, but we invite them in. And instead of judging on our differences, we celebrate our differences, whether a difference of looks, opinion, how we talk. We practice the radical hospitality that Christ so often showed here on earth. If we have an attitude of trust, we talk about God with others and we express our praise and our thankfulness for all that he has done in our lives. We live as the free children of God that we are, free from sin, free from guilt, free from shame. If we have an attitude of trust, we embrace the eternal life that Jesus gave us on the cross. Not just the promise of a future life in eternity with him, but the present reality of an abundant life lived with him now, a life that's characterized by joy and peace and love. If we have an attitude of trust, we simply, wholeheartedly, unabashedly, and humbly turn to Jesus each and every day, and we surrender to him. We surrender our wills, our desires, our pain, and our fear, and we say to him, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. In the face of the cross is our attitude of gratitude and attitude of trust. So as we enter this week of Thanksgiving, perhaps it's time for a new tradition. Not a tradition that doesn't become a tradition, but a tradition that becomes a way of life, a new attitude. In the face of the cross, we have a choice about what our attitude of gratitude will be. Will we choose an attitude of silence, or an attitude of prove it, or instead, will we adopt an attitude of true gratitude, an attitude of trust? On this Thanksgiving, what will your attitude of gratitude be?